God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. This is Jason DeZurich, your host for Do Not Keep Silent. Going to be digging into The Way Forward is Back. Friends, where do morals come from? Well, we're going to dig into that tonight. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Yeah, don't be a pushover again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. As I get started here tonight, I want to direct you to two blog posts that some of you may have already been to, some of you may be not. Find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. It'll take you there. Type in, where it's the search bar there, stealing your capital from God. Stealing your capital from God. And then another one is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The order matters. One was written back in 2018, another 2015. There's also a great video up about stealing your capital from God as well. Already have a number of views. Appreciate you looking at that, friends. Again, you can find more information at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. So, where do morals come from? Friends, this is something I think most of us not just need to dig into, but I think many of us have actually thought about this. Many today try to say it comes from you or for them as an individual. We've all heard the phrase and have been slowly over time been taught that you should live out your truth and someone can live out their truth. You know, live out your truth. Well, that's all fine and dandy. You know, each person creates their own morals for life and that we all can just live in harmony by you living your life and someone else living their life. Now, bear with me, friends. There is a bit of truth in this, but friends, there's a lot of falsehood in it as well, and I think it's high time for us to realize that it is in fact a lie that many of us over time, dare I say, even many of you in the audience right now, you've bought into it. So bear with me over the next, 10, 20, 30 minutes or so. I'd encourage you to please don't go after the messenger on this one. Friends, the message will be coming from God out of the Bible. Consider what's being shared tonight. Hopefully for your own spiritual growth and maybe for spiritual growth in others as well. I pray that your heart and mind would be open, your ears would be open to hearing the truth. Friends, the following quote is from George Washington. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Friends, so many atheists have told me for years that you don't need God to be good and that people can be good without God. Friends, George Washington even disagrees with that idea. If there is no creator God, friends, who sets natural law into order? Who does that? Who makes up the rules for living? Dear friend, if it's a person, well, then how does that person know what is good? Think about that. If there's not a foundation that's already set up and instituted, and they're stealing their capital from God to make this wonderful moral life? How do they know what's really good unless that's already set up? Friends, in John 1, we see who Jesus Christ is. It states this, starting in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Friends, Jesus is the Word in this. So I'm going to reshare this with you, and wherever it says the Word or him or he, I'll insert the name Jesus. "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, that's verses 1 through 5 in chapter 1. We'll drop down to verse 14 right now. "Jesus, the Word, Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory," Jesus' glory, "the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Again, that's in John 1. We also see in Colossians 1 who this Jesus really is. Colossians 1, 15 through 18 states, "The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus, all things hold together. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." So, everyone tuning in, according to the New Testament, Jesus Christ is Creator God. Friends, he's Almighty God. He's the one that instituted and established how this creation works. And these are not suggestions. Friends, he established, instituted, ordained, whatever word you want to use, started. He established how this creation works, and he knows what will work and what will not work. God Almighty did this. Jesus did this. Humans did not. And now it's up to us humans to either, well, surrender to God or defy and reject him and his truth. His truth, not your truth, not my truth, his truth. Some things that our Creator Jesus Christ established at the beginning of time is, well, number one, marriage is to be between one man and one woman. God did this, not man. Genesis 2, 22 through 25. "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Again, number one, marriage is between one man and one woman. God ordained this, established it, started it, instituted it. Humans did not. Number two, friends, we are to wear clothing to cover up our nakedness. Genesis 3, 9 through 11, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said," God said, "'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?'" And then we see in Genesis 3, 21, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothe them. You see, God instituted clothing. He did that. Number three, sex is primarily meant for procreation inside of a marriage with one man and one woman. Genesis 4, 1 and 2 states the man was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, I have made a male child with the Lord's help. She also gave birth to his brother Abel. Friends, this is what was instituted at the beginning. One man, one woman. Again, God did that, not a human being. Now, do we live in sin and do we live differently? Yep. But again, what was instituted was that sex is primarily meant for procreation inside of a marriage with one man and one woman. Number four, God wants to have a relationship with us. I'm going to live here for a little bit. Genesis 3, 8, and 9, and I want to share this with you, and we'll get to a fast cast quickly here. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? Again, God wants to have a relationship with each one of us. He loves us so very much. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. I'm going to dig into that in just a bit, where we broke that relationship by being selfish. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
It really is quite easy to understand the phrase and concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We live in a sinful world, though, which in and of itself makes living this out difficult, because so many people today seem to be unwilling to be responsible for their own actions. Friends, without life, there is no liberty. Without liberty, there is no pursuit of happiness. People can live out liberty all they want until they snuff out or trample on someone else's life. To dig more into this idea and this concept, go find our blog post titled Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, The Order Matters, today.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
We all need to ask ourselves this question: who do we trust? We need to seek and search, asking questions and genuinely looking for the truth. Absolute truth will set you free. Real truth, not your truth or my truth, but Almighty God truth. You know, do you really want to be free, though? I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 13, where it tells us that love is patient, love is kind, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Ah, there is that word again, friends. Truth. To dig more into this, go find our blog post titled United We Stand, Divided We Fall.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, my name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. Appreciate you being with me here this evening. Again, four things that Jesus Christ established at the beginning of time. Number one, marriage is to be between one man and one woman. You can see that in Genesis 2, 22 through 25. Number two, we're to wear clothes to cover up our nakedness, Genesis 3, 9 through 11. Number three, sex is primarily meant for procreation inside of a marriage with one man and one woman. We see that in Genesis 4, 1 and 2. And lastly, number four, God wants to have a relationship with us. We see that in Genesis 3, 8, and 9. I encourage you to go find those on your own. Friends, we broke that relationship that God wanted by being selfish and going into rebellion against Almighty God. Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with his creation so badly, friends, that he came to earth in the form of a human. And he lived a perfect life and paid the price of death that you and I so deserve, so that we can surrender our lives to him to spend eternity with him. Or we can defy him and spend eternity completely separated from him if we so choose. Friends, I'm going to share a phrase with you here that many of you might struggle with. He loves us that much. If we do not want to be with him, he allows us to reap that consequence. If we want to be with him, he allows us to reap that benefit. He offers each and every person the free gift of eternal life with him and allows us the opportunity to work out our salvation. It is just incredible. His desire is for us to mature and to grow and become complete, not lacking anything. What I also find just incredible is that we see evidence all around us. All of us see this, of design and intelligence in nature. Yet people deny the existence of a creator, especially if it's in regard to Almighty God of the Bible as creator. If we're honest enough with ourselves, we see this in our lives, but we see this happening all over social media today, where people who claim to be atheists standing up for false teachings in other religions. But when it comes to God in the Bible or Christianity, in their minds, this just cannot be accepted. Friends, this is something even today I just saw. I believe it was a teacher posting that, get ready, we can pray in our classrooms, so get your prayer rugs ready and your pentagrams ready. I'm like, my goodness. Anything but Christianity in their minds is fine. And I've shared this with you for years. Some people thought I was out of line, but we're seeing it today now. It's just one of the reasons in some people's minds the foundational beliefs of our nation need to be replaced with something else, when all the while what really needs to happen is a return back to what we were founded upon. And some may disagree with me on that, but friends, let's just take a look at some state constitutions. We see in the state of Maryland, in the state constitution, this is a public document. We, the people of the state of Maryland, grateful to Almighty God. They invoke the name Almighty God. There's only one. That's the God of the Bible, okay? Grateful to Almighty God for our civil and religious liberty and taking into our serious consideration the best means of establishing a good constitution in this state for the sure foundation and permanent security thereof. My goodness, friends, that's in the state of Maryland's constitution. Again, invoking Almighty God for us all to see and hear. You know, let's take a look at Pennsylvania real quick. The state of Pennsylvania, we see in their constitution, the state constitution, we, the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, grateful to, drum roll please, Almighty God for the blessings of civil and religious liberty, and humbly invoking his guidance to ordain and establish this constitution. Not only invoking the name of Almighty God, again, which is the God of the Bible, but then saying his guidance, making it really clear who they are talking about. We also see in that Constitution again, Article 1, Section 3, all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own consciences. I live in the state of Ohio. Let's take a look at part of the Constitution from the state of Ohio. We, the people of the state of Ohio, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom to secure its blessings and promote our commonwealth, to establish this Constitution. Friends, the way forward is back. Again, I think we all desire to move forward. It's just, how do we do that? Now, when I say back, I'm not talking about some of you, and I know because I have the conversations. Some of you think I'm talking about going back to slavery. No, I never said that. Not even, you know, making that part of it. No, we need to get back to the biblical foundational beliefs that this country was founded upon. And I'm not talking about, Christian nationalism, as some people have said. No. Christian nationalism actually are those who are supporting what changes happened in the early 1900s to mid-1900s. That's Christian nationalism. Getting back to what this nation was founded upon actually is the right thing. Inalienable rights would be one of them. That is what God Almighty instituted in this nation. God did that. Go check out Romans 13 if you'd like to know more about that. God is the one that institutes authorities, absolutely. And he instituted we the people as the governing authority here in this nation. Almighty God did that with inalienable rights. Go look up the word inalienable. It is a very powerful word with a very powerful definition. These are rights that not only cannot be taken away, but they cannot be given away by the possessor of the rights either. Go look up the definition. Friends, for me, it was like scales falling off my eyes the first time I ever read that. It was just amazing. Friends, as I move to conclude for this week, please know Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you. He desires for you to follow him and live out his ways in the life that he has given to you. Friends, I encourage you to begin living for him in all your ways. Start tonight. Start right now. You're going to be tempted to fall away. How do I know that? Even Jesus was tempted. You're going to be tempted to do your ways over God's ways. Don't be tricked or confused by the enemy. Follow God in all that you do. Remember this. Ecclesiastes 1:9 states what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. This is, do not keep silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
Have you ever felt the tension inside of you where you sensed that you were born to do something great, something significant, something extraordinary? But as much as you sensed this and were convinced of it, it was the most elusive thing in your life. One of the strange things about us as human beings is that we live in this state of angst between who we imagine ourselves to be, what we imagine ourselves to become, the lives we imagine ourselves living, and the one that we actually live, the person we actually become and the person that we actually are. I always thought it was an interesting thing that the scriptures tell stories of men and women who are filled with flaws and shortcomings, who make choices that are self-destructive, and it would seem sometimes to almost self-sabotage their futures. And that these individuals, as tormented and broken as they are the ones that become the heroes that inspire us and cause us to believe that maybe our lives too could be used for something extraordinary. And if you ever come to believe in God, if you ever choose to believe that you were created by God with intention, with purpose, that you were a product of God's love, and that your life is supposed to have significance, and that there's something inside of you that was supposed to be awakened and actually become a reflection of greatness, it would seem that it would be so easy to be great if you were great, right? I mean, if you were great, you should just be great. It shouldn't be hard to be great.
Go find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Don't be a pushover. And I'll see you next time. I'm not a pushover.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.